Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, spare a few thoughts on Aaron Pryor, a.k.a. The Hawk. He died October 9th at the age of 60 from heart disease. World Junior Welterweight Champion from 1980 to 1985. Had 40 professional fights, 39-1, 35 knockouts. One of the great fighters of the 80s, Nnamdi. Your thoughts?
Sonny, the Hawk, we have lost a great warrior. Boxing just lost another legend. Look at his ring record, Sonny. 39-1, 35 knockouts. Right there, he was a nonstop punching machine. The aggressive crowd-pleasing style, man. The fight fans love it, TV love it. And suddenly remember, this was a period when we used to get fights on Sunday afternoon for free.
Nnamdi, I remember those two action-packed bouts against Alexis Arguello. The first one in 1982, I think it was named Fight of the Decade by The Ring magazine. But there was controversy about that fight, wasn't there, Nnamdi?
Well, apart from the controversy, Sonny, remember this was a time when the title fights were 15 rounds. That fight there, the first one with Arguello, was the sixth greatest title fight of all time. Non-stop action until he stopped Arguello in the 14th round. Even in the rematch, going back to... in the rematch. He stopped Arguello again in the 10th round. These fights were fights that will keep you watching. These fights were the fights that fans will pay lots of money to see today. But what we have today is not action. What we have today is just guys avoiding each other.
Nnamdi, comment on Panama Lewis. He always comes into the picture when you talk about the Hawk. He was in the Hawk's corner for that fight against Arguello, and Apparently, he gave the Hawk a different bottle late in the fight. What happened there?
Well, Panama claimed it was what he gave Aaron Pryor was just peppermint. So who are we to dispute that? You know, we were not in the corner. We were not in the bottle. It was the job of the boxing commission to seize the bottle and analyze the bottle after the fight. They didn't do that. So whatever was in that bottle, it's only between God and Panama Lewis.
Nnamdi, when I look back, I know he fought Arguello, but Pryor did not fight some of the other legends of that time, men like Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran. Why is that?
Sonny, don't forget that this cat was on the scene when we had great fighters. We had Alexis Arguello, we had Sugar Ray Leonard, we had Roberto Duran, Sonny. Why did Sugar Ray run away from Aaron Pryor? Don't forget, your main man, Angelo Dundee, was in Sugar Ray's corner. So they expect the legend himself, Angelo Dundee, to advise Sugar Ray to go against the punching machine, because he will have been all over Sugar Ray, in your face, and he will have even stopped Sugar Ray for no money.
Two different styles of fighters, though, weren't they, Nnamdi? Aaron Pryor and Sugar Ray. Sugar Ray more of a tactician, stylish fighter, and Pryor was just going to come at you the whole way.
Well, Sonny, he will come at you, but he will come at you with hand speed. He will come at you with a great footwork. And to top it all off, he has power to stay in your face, which means you can get knocked out any moment. Even when he's in trouble, he's like a mamba snake. When he's in trouble, he's even dangerous, coming with you with different from different angles, ready to take you out.
Namdi, I know we've talked about Tyson Fury and his problems with cocaine. Aaron Pryor also struggled with cocaine addiction, but let's give him credit, Namdi. He was clean the latter part of his life. He became a preacher, spoke out against drug use. Your thoughts on what he did outside the ring?
I think we have to remember the fight years with all the great fights with Aguero and all these other people, with what he did after he cleaned himself up. Nobody's an angel. We've seen more of these when these guys retire. Bobby Chacon was a good example recently. Even Alexis Aguero himself, he died of cocaine addiction. The fight game has to find a way to deal with this problem once these guys retire, because once they retire, the drug dealers will come around. You can't keep them away. So there has to be a kind of a program that either WBC or WBO or IBF will put in place now, so that when you retire, you don't fall into that trap, because we've seen a lot of this happening now. I mean, these guys are passing away at the age of 60, Chacon. Even Aguero committed suicide, if you remember, Sonny. So we must look at this problem of cocaine addiction even during their career and after their career.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Meanwhile, big boxing news out of the heavyweight division. Tyson Fury has voluntarily vacated his WBO and WBA titles as he gets treatment for drug and mental health issues. The 28-year-old Fury has admitted he's been heavily using cocaine and drinking alcohol in recent months while suffering from depression. In a statement, Tyson Fury said, and I quote, "I won the titles in the ring, and I believe that they should be lost in the ring, but I'm unable to defend at this time, and I've taken the hard and emotional decision to now officially vacate my treasured world titles and wish the next in line contenders all the very best as I now enter another big challenge in my life, which I know, like against Klitschko, I will conquer." Shortly after Tyson Fury vacated his title belts, the British Boxing Board of Control suspended his boxing license pending further investigation into anti-doping and medical issues. Namdi Moeta says Fury's decision to give up his titles will grease the wheels for an Anthony Joshua Vladimir Klitschko world title fight, possibly on December 10th. Elsewhere in boxing, one of Ghana's best fighters will be back in the ring Friday night. Our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, tells us more.
Joseph Kingkong Abeku, Ghana's 3-time world champion, will this Friday, October 14, fight Haji Juma of Tanzania at the Accra Sports Stadium. 36-year-old Abeku will use the fight to promote peace ahead of Ghana's 2016 general election to be held on December 7. The bout will also serve as a preparation for his two major fights in the United States, which may include a world title opportunity. The Ghanaian is going into this contest with 30 wins and 5 losses. 23 of his wins have come through knockouts, including win against Luis Alberto Pereira, which got him the IBF bantamweight belt in 2007. In his fight last year against Juanito Rubila in Texas, Abeku recorded a win. His opponent, Haji Juma, who is 37 years of age, has 16 wins, 8 losses, and 5 draws in his boxing career. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Be away. is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America, they're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The Women's National Basketball Association finals resume Friday night at the Staples Center Arena in Los Angeles, California. That's where the Los Angeles Sparks will host the defending champion Minnesota Lynx in Game 3 of the best-of-five series, which is tied at 1-1. Led by the WNBA's Defensive Player of the Year, Sylvia Fowles, Minnesota knotted up the series at home Tuesday night when they scored a 79-60 victory at their Target Center Arena. Fowles scored 13 points and grabbed 15 rebounds, and Minnesota won the rebounding battle overall 46-32. In the words of Fowles, "Our defense gets us going, and once that happens, our offense flows more smoothly." The Lynx are bidding for their fourth WNBA title overall, having won the trophy previously in 2011, 2013, and 2015. The Sparks, meanwhile, are chasing their third league title, after winning back-to-back championships in 2001 and 2002. Turning to tennis, Frenchman Gilles Simon is through to the quarterfinals of the Shanghai Masters Tournament in China after upsetting third seed and U.S. Open champion Stan Wawrinka in straight sets Thursday, 6-4 and 6-4. Reporter Matt Brown caught up with Simone after his big victory in Shanghai and asked him about his performance.
Yes, it was a great match. It was really hard, of course, because Stan is a fantastic player. And it was a really hard one more time. The beginning of the match was really intense. And it was 3-1 breakup, and I thought that it would be the same way than the last two matches that I played against him. Like, he was just too good, and I was just fighting with everything I had, but he was in front. And finally, I managed to break again, then save a very long game on my serve, then break again to be on 4-3, and I was feeling better and better. I could see that he started to force his game a little bit, and then I had finally a grip on the match, but it was really difficult to get there.
You must have been really pleased with the way you served.
Yeah, it was... It was really important, you know, when you play. I had a very, very good feeling on the return today, so I was able to put a lot of ball in the court and to start a lot of rallies with Stan. But it's also important, he's really dominant on the court. It's tough for me it's just impossible to hold my baseline. The power of his shot is, the shots are far too heavy for me, so it's important when I can serve good to be a bit aggressive on myself to make him move also, and to let him feel that he doesn't have a full control of the match.
And do you feel, you know, these sorts of results show you that you are, I know you might be ranked 30 odd in the world, but you see yourself as a top 15 player?
Oh, but it was an awful season for me, and I think it was more in my head than in the shots or even physically, because I had zero injury for this year, so I had really no excuses to be there. I went there alone, match after match, tournament after tournament. And now we are in the late stage of the season, and I know I can play great here. 2 years ago I played the final and I was ranked also more than 30. And then I had a good year after that. So, you know, I just try to keep it simple. I'm finally happy to play again a good tennis. It was the case in the last three tournaments I played. Even in Metz, I was serving for the match against Dominic Thiem, top 10 player also. 10 years younger than me, so it's always good. And yeah, it helps to believe that you can still do something good on the tennis court.
That's Frenchman Gilles Simon, who did something good on the tennis court in Shanghai, China. He upset Swiss star Stan Wawrinka in straight sets, and Simon was talking with reporter Matt Brown in Shanghai. Top-seeded Novak Djokovic of Serbia is also through to the quarterfinals after beating Canada's Vasek Pospisil in straight sets 6-4 and 6-4. Talk to us, Novak!
It was a great quality of the tennis today from both players. I was very pleased with the way I've played from the first to last point. I don't think I've dropped my level at all. Only one game when I dropped my serve in the first set on 4-1. Other than that, I was very pleased with the performance. Didn't face any break points except that game when I dropped my serve.
Joining Novak Djokovic in the quarterfinals in Shanghai is second-seeded Andy Murray. The British star beat Frenchman Lucas Puy 6-1 and 6-3. Murray is this year's Wimbledon and Olympic champion, and he likes the way he played against Puy.
I came up some good shots at the end when I needed them. I was hitting the ball clean, moving well, and I didn't give him really many free points.
In other tennis news, Russian star Maria Sharapova played a charity event here in the United States this week, her first public contest since being banned for illegal drug use. Sharapova was banned for 2 years by the International Tennis Federation after testing positive for meldonium at January's Australian Open, but her penalty was reduced on appeal to 15 months by the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which said she did not intend to cheat. Maria Sharapova joined retired stars Martina Navratilova, John McEnroe, and Andy Roddick at the charity event in Las Vegas, Nevada, which raised money for the Elton John AIDS Foundation. Sharapova says it's great to be hitting the ball in front of fans again.
Yeah, it's very special to be obviously back on the court. It's been about 7 months since I've played in front of spectators and played in a stadium environment. Obviously very thankful for the invitation. Happy to be part of this cause. It's been around for 24 years and it's my first attendance. Thrilled to be part of it.
Maria Sharapova can return to professional competition in April, 1 month before the French Open in Paris, a tournament she won in 2012 and 2014. She says she thinks she'll play a few more exhibition events before April.
Yeah, I will look to play maybe a couple of exhibition events leading up to my first tournament in April. I don't know what those will be, but I think that's one of the things that will be really important because match play, you can never really replicate it. You can practice as much as you want, but there's nothing really like it.
Russian tennis star Maria Sharapova speaking at the Elton John AIDS Foundation charity event in Las Vegas, Nevada. Elton is a big tennis fan, and his foundation has raised more than $350 million since being formed 24 years ago. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here.
And I'll serve and volley any tennis news trending.
There is indeed. I like that back and forth serve and volley. That's good. There's big trending news about Nick Kyrgios of Australia, the 12th ranked man. He actually lost in the Shanghai Masters, but it's how he lost that's making a lot of buzz on social media. He kind of lobbed the ball on his serve. He didn't run to return shots and actually got in a shouting match with a couple fans who they said, respect the game, respect the people. And he snapped back at them. He said, you want to come here and play? Sit down, shut up and watch. Not good for Nick Kyrgios. Actually got scolded by the chair umpire and then actually got fined $16,500 for what they term lack of best efforts. So a lot of fans not pleased with this on social media. He's one of the best players in the game. He's only 21 years old. He's got a great career ahead of him. But when he acts like this, it frustrates a lot of fans. So the anger with him not trying, people just asking, what is he doing out there? Where is his head at? And one fan even said he's the Mario Balotelli of the tennis world, which is not a compliment by any stretch. So that's not good company that you want to be associated with. But Kyrgios did tweet out, he said, quote, "Not good enough today on so many levels. I'm better than that. I can go on about excuses, but there are none. Sorry. Hashtag still a work in progress." So he did apologize for his behavior. He said that after a previous tournament he played, he was just mentally and physically checked out. But maybe at least next time he can give it a bit of a try, other than just not giving his effort.
Well, maybe he'll mature a little bit.
That's
we'll
the
see.
Hope on among fans on social media that he's, you know, physically he's there. He just mentally needs to get there. So they're hoping that he will get there as he ages and matures.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we've been talking about this story all week, Donald Trump's comments in that video about women and sexually assaulting them, and his defense of that in the presidential debate, saying it was locker room talk. And athletes have come out saying that's not how we talk in the locker room. And there are two big athletes, two of the biggest athletes in the United States, that have been asked about this, and they gave two very different responses. The first is LeBron James. LeBron James, of course, has come out and endorsed Hillary Clinton for president, and he was asked about these locker room comments and Donald Trump's claim it was locker room talk. And LeBron James said, "This isn't locker room talk, it's trash talk." And he said, "What we talk about in the locker room is our families, strategy for the game, even other sports, saying, hey, did you see that big hit last night in the baseball game or any other NBA games that go on?" So he's striking back at this, saying it's not locker room talk at all. And he's getting a lot of support from fans for coming out and saying that. The other celebrity sports star is Tom Brady, of course, the quarterback of the New England Patriots football team. He's come out before and expressed admiration for Donald Trump, although he's never endorsed him. And he was asked about this, if his kids, if they heard that so-called locker room talk, what he would say to them. And he responds with he just says, "Thank you guys, have a good day." And he walks away from the podium at the press conference. So a lot of fans disappointed with him, saying that he should have come out and said that he doesn't condone that kind of talk or doesn't condone those actions. But he kind of brushed it off, just said, "Thanks very much. See you later." So
maybe not a good PR move by Tom Brady.
It wasn't. And a lot of fans are really disappointed in him about that. Now, there are some fans, too, that are saying for both LeBron James and Tom Brady that neither of them should be commenting on this. They should stick to sports. But it's, you know, brings this issue into the sports world even further as athletes respond, as we look at those responses and how people react to them. So credit for LeBron James for many, and the opposite for Tom Brady.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Auston Matthews. Now, if you don't know that name, don't worry. You will probably in the future know it in the world of hockey, because Auston Matthews made his debut last night for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the National Hockey League and didn't just score a goal in his first game. He scored 4 goals in his first game, setting an NHL record.
Impressive.
The first time a rookie player has ever scored 4 goals in his first game. So fans are already in disbelief. They're ready to give him the MVP award after one game, and they're already. And the funny thing is that the Toronto Maple Leafs in this game, they actually lost 5-4. So he scored all 4 goals for them. And despite the fact that the team lost, the fans are just so excited that he played so well. They're in disbelief. The NHL even, they tweeted out in all caps, they said, "Auston Matthews has 4 goals. He has 4 goals!" with all exclamation points. So big excitement in the National Hockey League for this rising star. In his first game, he's already making an impact, and he's won a lot of fans on social media, that's for sure.
And quickly, only one Major League game in the USA today, Andrew, right here in Washington. The decisive Game 5 between the Washington Nationals and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Care to make a prediction, Andrew?
Well, as I've said, I'm not a big fan of the Nationals, so I'll be rooting for the Dodgers, which isn't going to do me much good in this town, but I think it'll be a really good matchup. Good pitching, two great teams. Whoever wins, they'll be well-deserved.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. See you on Friday, Andrew.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the October 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Healthcare in Cameroon got a boost last month with some help from the United States. On September 29th, Deputy Chief of Mission Matthew Smith presented to Minister for Public Health, His Excellency Andre Mamafuda, with over $1 million in information technology or IT equipment for use in all 10 regions and health districts in Cameroon. The funds will be used to implement Demographic Health Information System software, also known as DHIS2, sponsored by the American people through the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC. The ceremony was also attended by senior Ministry of Health officials, CDC Country Director Dr. Omotayo Bolu, medical staff, international organizations, and members of the media. In his remarks, Mr. Smith said, "I am pleased to offer another concrete testament of the United States' firm commitment to strengthen our health partnership with the government and the people of Cameroon. We are proud that support for Cameroon's health sector accounts for our largest bilateral partnership assistance, along with security." PEPFAR contributions for this donation were approximately $1 million. The CDC in Cameroon will provide a comprehensive package of computers, printer, ink, software, modems, and internet connections for 1 year with IT equipment maintenance to each of the 184 health districts in Cameroon. These computers have been allocated to all 10 regions and are now ready for distribution to districts and facilities. Standardization of Cameroon's health data collection will ensure access to quality data, which will prompt responsive action and ultimately produce better health outcomes for Cameroon. Initially, DHIS2 will be used to collect HIV data, subsequently malaria and TB, and ultimately include other important health programs and surveillance events. DHIS2 will serve as a one-stop shop for health information systems. Highlighting the program's impact, Mr. Smith observed that the 184 computer systems and equipment and the U.S. partnership with the government of Cameroon will lead to enhanced data collection to be used for life-changing decision-making. Healthy citizens offer greater contributions to their families, communities, and nation, said Deputy Chief of Mission Smith. Health, security, education, and promoting the efforts of Cameroonians are a key priority of the United States of America in this great nation.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
When news is happening, VOA Africa is there.
Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
Victor Beatty, VOA News, Washington.
Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Joba.
Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé.
VOA correspondents take you right to the center of events as they're happening. And this is where you hear it all on VOA Africa.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of The Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical journey. I guarantee it.